Thank you, Sandy. I appreciate that special number. I'm going to ask you, if you would please, to go with your Bibles to Psalm 47, the 47th Psalm. If you would please, let's go to the 47th Psalm together this evening. Now, tonight, we're going to be at several different passages of Scripture, gleaning truths from several passages that will put together our general thought and idea behind the message this evening. I told you several weeks ago when I first spoke that I would start a mini-series on what I would call parenting on purpose or purposeful parenting. We'll be moving now into our third lesson as a part of this mini-series. The initial part of this series, you know, has focused much on the parent. We've talked much about what your goal as a parent is. We even kind of tried to transfer that idea to grandparents and aunts and uncles. What would your goal be regarding the relationship that you would have with the child with which you interact with in your life? What is your goal? What is your plan? What are your ideas about parenting? What exactly are you trying to accomplish when it comes to being a parent? Being a parent is one of those things that is a major responsibility in life. Many people are intimidated by it and fear it, but it's not something you must be intimidated by, nor is it something you have to fear. I understand, because I'm in it, there are challenges that come with parenting. I completely understand that. And I understand, as I've been able to see, that with every next phase and stage of life comes the challenges, not just spiritually, but also physically, and even about how to get the kids to all of the different things all at the same time. We have already arrived there. As an example, last Sunday I spoke at Pittsboro Baptist Church beginning their revival service. Last Sunday just also happened to be that Petey was playing a doubleheader basketball game up towards Fishers, and the game started at 2 o'clock. So I preached did the Sunday school and preached the morning service, rushed to lunch. As soon as lunch was done, dismissed ourselves from the table with the pastor, got in our vehicles, drove all the way up to the north side to Fishers, played one game, played a second game, jumped back into the vehicle, rushed back in, walked into the church, and then preached an evening service. That's kind of been the way it is for a little bit of time. I completely understand the challenges, sometimes even just logistically, when it comes to getting the kids around and yet still trying to be a parent that focuses on the biblical significance in the child's life. We simply have to all remember, because if we have kids in this day and time, we have the pressures that come with having a kid in the 21st century. There's the education pressures. Our children have to simply be the best when it comes to every aspect of school. They must be number one. And sometimes that includes a lot of things that go along with it and the pressure of all the things they have to do in school. And then there's some type of extracurricular activity now that they just have to be involved in, whether it be sports-wise or music or in some type of, something more geared towards learning, whether it be like spelling bees and things like that. There are all these things that we are pressured with to get our kids involved in that will take up their time. And ultimately, a lot of it comes down to the fact that we have to remember, what is our purpose for parenting? What are we parenting for? Are we parenting so our kids will one day be good athletes? Are we parenting so our kids will one day be the top of their class? Are we parenting so our kids will one day receive a bachelor's, maybe a master's, and if we're lucky, a doctorate degree? What exactly are we parenting for? My challenge over the last two lessons has been that our parenting focus would not be on some of those things that society says we have to focus on, but that our purpose and our focus of parenting would be more on the spiritual aspect of our children. In essence, the focus of our parenting would be that we are training in and preparing our children for a life of godliness as a child, as an adult, and even in preparation for the judgment seat of Christ, all the way into eternity. That's truly what I want in my purpose of parenting to be. Well, then why are you so geared, you'd say, towards some of the other things that your kids are involved in? Because he enjoys those things, and they're fine. But I always have to make sure that as I give allowances for those extracurricular activities, that it all stays within the focus of what I, as a parent, am truly trying to accomplish. That's sometimes the challenge. We are willing to fudge on what is truly important, or budge just a little bit from our position, just so we can have a little bit of notoriety or name or popularity or whatever it might be through our children. I've been out to a lot of these games now, And I've seen a lot of parents trying to live their lives through their children and pushing them to become great because the parent themselves wants kind of the popularity, the notoriety that comes with having a great child. But I'm going to be honest with you. We have to be sure to maintain our true focus as biblical parents and grandparents and whatever it might be. And that's this. We have to prepare our children to live lives of godliness, not just now, but as an adult. And honestly, if you think about the Bible and what it truly teaches, not just in the aspect of daily living, but in the aspect of worldview and everything else, if our child lives a life of godliness, will he or she not be best prepared for every other aspect of life, whether it be competition, whether it be education, or whether it be work ethic, or anything else in life? True godliness will bring those things to pass. It sure will. They'll strive for it, and you'll be able to teach them exactly what the Scripture teaches regarding all of those other things. So that's our goal. We want to prepare our children and teach them to be godly. Now, one of the most important aspects of teaching is that you can first maintain enough of a role to have authority over your children, so that way you can teach your children. Authority is one of those things that's absolutely important. You have to be able to have it before you can say anything else. As an example, why don't you jump on one of our church buses right now as we're in the midst of our fall campaign and see if our bus captain has authority. Put him to the test. Captains, I know you'll come through. Because here is the truth of the matter. If the captain doesn't have authority on their bus, when you start putting 30, 40, and 50 kids on a bus, it will be nearly impossible for them to even begin serving a hot dog on the bus. Because without authority, it's truly difficult to accomplish anything. I'll give you another example. I shared this just this past week at the church up north. I was a few months ago, I was involved again in a sports event for Petey. I was watching him play baseball. And a big, burly man walked around. I usually sit in the outfield, and a big, burly man walked around the fence and kind of came around me, and he was big with a cut-off T-shirt and hair everywhere, and he just had tattoos everywhere. Just an absolutely intimidating man. I mean, I'm sure his Harley Davidson was out there somewhere. I don't know, but that's just the way it looked. So he walked around from behind me, and he walks up to the kids' playground. Well, I'm keeping an eye because Josie's playing at the kids' playground, and nowadays you never know. You know how that is. So I'm kind of keeping an eye out. So he stops about four or five steps past me and yells out to the playground at a little girl to come. I see a little girl respond, and I'm guessing she's probably 5 or 6 years old. He says, "Come on, we're going to go eat before the next game," he says, and she keeps playing. And so he says, "Come on," calls her name out, "we're going to go eat before the next game." And she continues to play. She doesn't respond. He says, "Listen up," calls her name out, "you better get over here right now, we're going to go eat." And she takes two steps out from the playground and says, "But I don't want to, I'm not going to, I want to keep playing, just bring me the food here." And he says, "No, we're not going to. We need to go eat because we're going to go somewhere else. You need to come now." She says, "No, I don't want to." And I can't believe what I heard next. What I heard next from this big, burly, bad man was this: "You're not listening to me. I'm going to go get your mother." I thought, did I seriously just hear that from this man? The only thing that would make this story better is if even a bigger, more burly woman walked around the corner. That is the only thing that would make this better, but Mom never made an appearance, so I'm sorry, I cannot give you information about that. But listen to this. Here is this man that would be intimidating in a lot of situations, but he could not even get a 5 or 6 year old girl to come off of a playground towards him. What was the reason for that? Not enough authority. You see, authority ultimately, and the establishment of your authority as a parent, ultimately becomes a make it or break it situation for each parent. Because even if it is your goal to teach your children and to train them in godliness, if you don't have the authority over your child, then you won't be able to be an effective teacher or trainer in godliness. Ultimately, if you succeed in establishing the authority that you need as a parent over your child, then you'll be able to parent and shape and mold and influence the life of your child. However, to establish authority is one of those issues in our society that is very, very challenging. Because our society focuses on child-centric parenting. It's all about the children. And it's not about us establishing our authority as parents. It's about us making sure that our children have everything they need, or should I say, everything they want. So in our society, biblical parents have to commit themselves to establishing the authority that you need over your child. So what I want you to do today is I want to give you a biblical approach to establishing authority over your children. I'm going to use certain biblical texts that will give you the ideas and that will carry forth the thoughts. Remember, much of this mini-series has been geared towards parents. So don't be surprised when the significance and the key steps of establishing authority over your child rest more upon the lap of the parent than they do upon that of the child. So let's look, you're at Psalm 47. Let's look at the first principle that will help begin to establish you. We're at a few verses. Psalm 47:2 is where we'll start, then we'll jump forward a little bit. It says, "For the Lord Most High is terrible." That's terrible and awe-striking. "For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth." Now let's read the next verse, Psalm 83. Let's go to Psalm 83 and verse number 18. "He is king over all the earth. He is the Most High," Psalms 47 says. Psalm 83 and verse number 18 says this. Psalm 83:18, "That men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth." Again, similar phraseology and some of the exact same terms. "But that the world may know that Jehovah is the Most High over all the earth." Now let's go to the New Testament, Matthew chapter number 22. In Matthew 22, we're going to read verses number 36. Matthew 22, we're going to read verse 36. We're going to stop on verse number 37. 37 will give us New Testament terminology to help you understand what we just read in the Old Testament. Matthew 22, look with me if you would at verse number 36. "Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Let's sum it all up in verse 37. "Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." Essentially, what is the greatest commandment? That you would treat God as though He is the only Jehovah, the Most High, the King and ruler of over all the earth, and that this principle and thought would permeate down to the very depths of who you are. That's essentially what the verses are teaching. What does this have to do with establishing authority over your children? Very simply, it's this, that in order to establish authority over your child, you must demonstrate God's authority over you as a parent. This is where it starts. You see, God is the greatest authority over mankind. He created us. He is over us. And the Bible says that by Him all things consist. And this authority over all of the universe that God possesses must also be an authority over the parent when it comes to His specific methods of parenting. And this is something that must be demonstrated to your children. You see, your children will learn, hopefully by your teaching, that God is the Most High, that He is the greatest, He is the only Jehovah, and you are to love Him with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, with everything that you possess. But they also must know that when it comes to your specific dealings with your child, that you are in submission to the authority of God, and that's something your children must know. God's authority over parents should permeate every action a parent makes and every decision a parent makes. Every aspect of our lives as a parent should be able to be traced back to the fact that the parent is doing his or her best to be obedient to the Scriptures. Your children have to read, they have to know, they have to sense, and they have to understand the simple truth about your life, and that's this. God is your authority as a parent. Here are some practical ways to demonstrate God's authority as a parent. For example, you know the verse, Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 6. You know the whole verse at the beginning, but we won't start at the beginning. We'll talk about verse number 6 where it says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Well, this is one way for a parent to demonstrate God's authority over them. In all thy ways acknowledge him. This means that parents should silently, should vocally, should with how they act, how they speak, how they treat their children, should broadcast in every single way the authority that the Bible has over their lives. And it has to be a focus that you commit to. Your child should know, without a doubt, that the Bible has authority over you. Your children should know that, hands down. When it comes to mom and dad or how they act, they know the Bible's going to have authority over mom and dad. So if the children, as they age, ever come up to you and request something to you that they know is on the line of right or wrong, mom and dad will always default to the Bible. It has the authority over them. This is something that has to be established early on. It's a good thing. They have to know the Bible is your authority. It is the reason why in your children's lives, the Bible is the reasons why you as a parent don't watch certain things. As you don't allow certain things into your home. It's the reason why you don't listen to certain kinds of music. It's the reason why you don't drink certain kinds of drinks. It's the reason why you don't smoke. It's the reason why you don't go to certain places. It's the reason why you don't use a certain kind of language. Your children have to know that the Bible is your authority and it determines the way you live. That's a practical way to make the Bible the authority over your life and to allow your children to see it. The Bible is the reason why you go to church so much. You realize how many kids that your children and grandchildren interact with that never go to church? Probably bunches, particularly if they're in the public school systems. Or maybe even homeschools for that matter. Probably bunches. So do you think that your children will ever be asked the questions or made a statement to them something like, "Why do you go to church so much?" Possibly. Well, the children have to know that the Bible is the reason why you go to church so much. The Bible is the reason why your family serves in the ministries that you serve in. That's the reason, Grandpa. That's the reason, Grandma, because the Bible tells you. That's the reason, Mom. That's the reason, Dad, because the Bible tells you to. That's why you're obedient in those areas. It is the reason why you parent the way you do. And this is not just something you can always preach to your children. This is something you have to live out. The Bible is your authority as a parent, and you basically live in obedience to the Bible by acknowledging God in all of your ways. Not just that, but another aspect that we hurt ourselves is we also must live in obedience to God's authority regarding the relationship or authority structure within the home. I'm not going to go to the verses for the sake of time, but do you remember that Adam and Eve were told that they would leave basically their parents and cleave towards one another? You know that the Bible gives us a very specific relationship structure that is to take place within the home. What the Bible tells you is not by happenstance or by accident. What God tells us in His Word is to be done the way He says it. And when one domino is not carried forth the way it should be, I promise you, because I've seen it in my life and doubtless you've seen it in yours, one thing that is not in place that God says should be in place could create a ripple effect all the way through every other aspect of your life. And when God gives us a very specific relationship structure within the home, we need to follow it. And when we're not following it, we are hurting our children way more than we realize. Let's talk about the husband tonight, or the father, husband slash father. The most important relationship you have in your life, dad, father, husband, whatever you might be, is God. He is the most important one. He always has to be the most important relationship you have. And dad, you have to always remember that when your relationship with God is not right, your relationship with your wife will not be right. And your relationship with your children will not be right. Your relationship with God has to be right. It's priority level one. So you say, "I'm a great parent. I do a great job." In some ways, you may do good things. But if you don't have a strong relationship with God, there is something more deep that is missing, and much is happening on a more shallow level. Men, the second thing is your wife. That's the second most important relationship you have, your wife. Care for her, love her, Make her the queen of your home. Make her feel like she's the most important thing that's ever walked upon the face of the earth. Your wife. And then thirdly, gentlemen, is your children. Your children. Your children come below your wife. It's God, your wife, or your spouse, and then your children. This is the priority level of the relationships for a man. And you have to make sure to keep them in that level. Similarly, for the women or the moms, whatever you want to refer to yourself tonight, it's God. Number one, God. Moms, your children depend upon you having a good and close relationship with God. Then it's your husband. Your husband is the second aspect or the second priority level of your relationship. Now, you say that's difficult because moms oftentimes are the most engaged and busy when it comes to the parents. I've got a good wife and a good mama. Who's a good mama. And I got a good mama too. So I completely understand that. I understand that. But the wife has to be sure that it is known that the second most important relationship of her life is the man. It is the husband. And then thirdly is the children. Thirdly is the children. We have to be sure that we're following this structure of prioritizing the relationships within the home. Parents who are off balance with their relationship structure harm the children more than what you realize. Because what you do is you inadvertently teach your child to reject authority because you're not living within the certain level of authority that God has in your life. They'll know it and they'll see it. One of the things that parents commonly do is they commonly place their children over their spouse. This is something we all have to be careful and not to do. We cannot place the children above the spouse. So ask yourself as an example, this past week, of the time that you spent with your family, this past week, what percentage did you spend in the role of father slash mother, whichever be the case, and what percentage or versus what percentage did you spend as husband slash wife? What percentage of it? Most of the time, I think that's going to come based on a book that I've read called Parenting on Purpose. The typical distribution is going to be 90% versus 10%. 90% as father or mother versus 10% as husbands or wife. This is indication of the fact that you are gravitating towards child-centric parenting. You have to be careful for that. Parents' authority structure within the home is very biblically clear, and it has to be followed in order to demonstrate God's authority over your life. The husband has to be the head of the home. The wife has to follow. Her submission to the wife's submission to the husband is a constant lesson to the children, and the husband's godly leadership over his wife is a constant lesson to the children as well. A child has to be able to perceive the home exactly the way God established it to be. Because God established it to be a constant picture of Christ, His church, and the authority relationships between both of them. I am going to say this, and I'm going to say this as kindly but as straightforward as I can. If you are placing it as more significant to be a good mom than to be a good wife, then you are wrong. You are wrong tonight. You cannot do that because you cannot be a good mom without being a good wife within that setting of the home. It is important that you're a good wife first, then you be a good mom. I know there's all kinds of single mom homes in those situations, and you understand that those are different situations than what I'm talking about. But it goes with the same thing with being a good father. You can't categorize your life in such a way that you feel like you are so kind and compassionate and tender and loving towards your children, and then you turn around and you are not the same things towards your wife. Because the children see the inconsistencies, and being a bad husband makes you look like a bad father. You see, the relationships within the home is very important. The first thing you have to do to establish authority over your children is to demonstrate God's authority over you as parents. What you do, how you act, the way you treat your wife, the way you treat your kids, every aspect of your life you want your children to look at. We know we're not going to be perfect. We know we're not. We know we're going to make bunches of mistakes. Our error count is going to be real high. We know we are. But we want our children to be able to look at us and to be able to see some type of pattern in our lives that mom or dad are under the authority of God and His Word. We want our children to be able to see that. The second thing, as we start to work our way towards the end, I'm going to ask you, if you would, to go to the book of Exodus, chapter number 20. Exodus chapter number 20. In Exodus chapter number 20, in verse number 12, this is what the Bible says. For our second step, not just that the parents establish God's authority over their own lives, but secondly, in Exodus 20, verse number 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord God giveth thee. So what is God telling children? Honor thy father and thy mother. Children are specifically told that they are to honor mom and dad. Now go with me quickly, if you would, to the New Testament book of Colossians. And we're going to go to Colossians chapter number 3, and we're going to read verse number 20. Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 20, this is what the Bible says now in the New Testament era. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. So what, parents, let me ask you this, what are children told by God Himself that their response to you is to be? It is to be that they are to give you the authority. They are to obey you. They are to listen to you. So parents, it is okay to demand parental authority over your child. That's okay. That's the way God established it to be. It's often because we end up being, initially at least, the only concept of God that our children truly have. We are the great ones to them for so long that we need to establish it in our lives that we can have authority over them and demand that authority. I read a book by Dr. James Dobson where he would say that every evening they would pray for their evening meal. And it would be something that where Dr. Dobson always said the prayer. One day, Dr. Dobson was traveling, and so his wife asked their two-year-old, "Why don't you pray?" You ever heard the prayer of a little one? "Why don't you pray for dinner this evening?" And this is what the child innocently prayed in Dad's place. "I love you, Daddy. Amen." She almost thought she was actually praying to God, almost in that sense. And you know, as parents, especially when our children are young, are we not God's official representative to them? God has placed them under our control, under our leadership, for a very long period of time. Some, I know, way longer, but at least 18 years. So that way, we can establish and teach them and train them. We are initially, at least, the true representative of who God is. And this is why it is vital for parents to understand your authority, particularly during their most formative years of life. They have to learn and understand the authority that you have over them. If they don't understand and learn authority in their formative years of life, then it is very potential they'll burst right through their teen years and into adulthood as someone who simply does not respect authority. And that includes God's. No respect for God's authority. And that's what we don't want to end up with. So parents, it's okay to demand authority from your child, that they respond to you. Your authoritative power, remember, is given to you by God. Romans 13 tells us that. He has placed you into the position and role as a parent. It is a position that God has ordained. And in that ordination of your position, feel free to exercise your authority that God gives to you to exercise and practice. Don't cower from it. Don't fear for it. And don't apologize for the power and the authority that you should have as a parent. The idea should be a liberating thought to every single parent. You don't have to question what you can or cannot do. God tells your children, obey them. And then God tells you, train them. And all you have to do is be obedient to His Word. This is very liberating to every single parent that is here. God has given you the power to demand authority with the ultimate goal of the authority one day being transferred not just to you, but the authority of your child being transferred towards God, where God becomes the ultimate authority. God's obedience, command obedience to your authority. It's okay to do that. Parents, look up Genesis chapter number 18 and verse number 19. Command obedience to your authority. Your child is aware of your obedience to God's authority. And now that your child knows you are obedient to God, then you can teach your child, be obedient to me. But it is very, very important for every parent to establish and maintain the position of authority over your child. Don't ever allow your children to exercise a defiant attitude against your authority. Don't ever allow your children to become sassy towards your authority. Never allow your children to disrespect you. Engraving the idea of authority in the heart of your child's heart is good because it secures an understanding that there will always be an authority over them. And that authority is God. Look for ways to establish this authority over your child. Seek ways out and determine certain things. Begin solidifying this authority, particularly if you have kids or grandkids here that are between the ages of 18 months and 3 years old. Very formative years for the life of a child. Be careful not to allow this false independence as the kids kind of turn from 4 to 12 years old to override your authority. In fact, kids 4 to 12 think they know it, they've arrived, and they're only 6 years old, but they sure got life down. And that's the way kids can end up being. Don't allow that false sense of authority to override your authority that you have over them. It is still your specific obligation to maintain that authority and to use that authority in order to train them in the things of God. One day, parents, your authority is going to end, is it not? I mean, mine did. Oh, my parents' authority over me one day ended. I respect them, and I love them, and I honor them. But there came a day when the authority that they had over me ended. And many of you parents here can testify to that. In fact, you may remember the first time you wished you had that authority still, but you knew that you were powerless and did not. There will come a time when your children will, you will not be able to have specific authority and get them to do exactly what you want. And your hope and prayer is going to be that at that point, the authority that is engraved deep into their heart is God. And that's when you can send them out into adulthood, not worrying about, I don't know if I'm going to be able to tell them exactly what to do, but knowing that in their hearts, they're going to depend on God to tell them what to do. And they're going to follow the God that was your authority, that you taught them, and that is now their authority. And they will follow that God into the future. Transition God's authority over to the child. This is essentially what begins to take place. Every parent here understands what it's like and what it feels like to see or to have children that simply you can't control. And that happens sometimes because children can be very strong-willed, and we know that. And sometimes people look at somebody's kids and say, man, those are strong-willed. I'm glad I don't have kids like that. Or somebody may look over there and say, well, man, that kid seems really not strong-willed. I wish, and you could talk about all the different things. Ultimately, what it turns out to is this. God gave us our children. He did. And He gave us to them to train them and to teach them and to prepare them for a life of godliness, not just for now, but into eternity. It's our responsibility, and nobody else is going to do it. Nobody else can we expect to do it. Not a school. The church will help, but we can't expect the church to do it all. It has to come from the home and from the parents. And if you're going to be able to train them and teach them the way you want, it has to start with you being able to have enough authority over them. So teach your children, God is my authority. And with God as my authority, I am going to teach and train you what God says He wants me to do and what He wants you to do. And when those times come when we have to discipline our children, we'll talk about discipline later. When those times come where we have to discipline our children, we can rightfully say, listen, God disciplines all of His children. And when daddy does something wrong, God disciplines me too. And what you've done is in disobedience. And in disobedience, it has to be punished. And I'm going to do this to teach you what is right and what is wrong. And then you exercise the discipline, and your goal is that the child becomes familiar with the concept of authority and God's authority specifically. We'll talk more about discipline later, but let me tell you this. If you feel like you cannot control your children right now, you need to get on that immediately. If you feel like you don't have the authority over your children that you need to get on that immediately. You see, but my kid's only 1 year old. Now's the time. But my kid's only 3. Now's the time. But they'll do it after I tell them about 4 or 5 different times. Now is the time. What if my kids are actually a little bit older? Now's the time. You have to be able to get the authority over your children. Establish it. Parents, the best footing you have is make God the authority over your lives. Set the example. And then you can kind of carry it forth from there. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you for the principles and the truths that we learn, that we can very easily and specifically apply to parenting in our lives. I know we have many parents here, and I know we have grandparents. And I know, Lord, that right now, as I've researched and read, right now, the statistics of how many kids that are in our church that will still be in our church as an adult or in church, period, is mind-boggling low. I pray that in this church, that would not be the case, but that we would commit ourselves as parents to biblical methods of parenting, and that as grandparents, we would commit ourselves to biblical method of grandparenting, and even the opportunity to pray for and assist, if available, our children. I ask now for your blessing on parents. With everybody's heads bowed and everybody's eyes closed, I'm going to ask you, if you would, to stand to your feet.